The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and many other places in His Word that there's a time coming when His people Israel will turn and seek Him, repent and cry out to God for help and deliverance and God's mercy. We could do that now if we would, and we should do that right now. If we want to avoid many severe problems in the near future for Israel, and that means the United States and the British people, plus other Israelitish nations, including Judah, whom we call Israel today. We should be able to see that our problems are many and that they aren't getting better, and won't as long as we ignore God's laws and His way that He commands us to live. But our problems, as severe as they aren't severe enough to get us to turn to our Maker and His ways. But God says they will come to that point. But God also says we can repent and turn to Him and save ourselves of many severe problems just around the corner. In Deuteronomy 4, as we have just read, God warned His people what would happen to them if they turned to idolatry and a corrupt way of life. And it happened just as God inspired Moses to prophesy to our forefathers, ancient Israel. And God said it was and is an end time or latter day prophecy as well for modern day Israel, and especially the United States and the British people. In Deuteronomy 4, beginning in verse 27, God has this to say, "And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, or smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." My friends, you need to pay attention to this. God says there is coming a time that we will seek Him, and that we will be seeking Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Going on here in verse 30, "When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days," notice this, it's a prophecy for the latter days, the end time days that we are living in. And these days are coming much sooner than we want to think about, my friends, unless we repent and turn to our God. We still have time to do that, if we will. It says, "When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days," speaking to the end time Israel, "when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice." In other words, God promises that He is going to deliver Israel from our troubles. But it's after we have gone through many, many, many troubles, my friends, because we won't listen now and we won't turn now. We won't repent of our sins now. Verse 31, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them." Moses was giving ancient Israel, our forefathers, instructions as how to conduct themselves when they went over the Jordan to possess the good land God had given them. He gave them warning as to what would happen to them if they didn't obey the covenant God made with them and that they agreed to. That was a prophecy and a warning for them and their descendants, which the United States and the British people are. If you know the history of ancient Israel and Judah, then you know they had many problems over the span of about 1,000 years, and finally, both nations were taken captive from their homeland, just as God said would happen. And they were in servitude to other nations many times, as the book of Judges brings out, because of disobedience to God's spiritual laws and His financial laws as well. They would get indebted to other nations and become their servants. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? The only time Israel and Judah prospered was when they obeyed God. You can read through the book of Judges, which spanned a time period of 400 years. It is very clear that God would raise up a leader from time to time that would obey God, and God would deliver the nation from the oppression of surrounding nations. Things went well for Israel as long as they obeyed God. Under the reign of Israel's first human king, which was Saul, it was well with Israel as long as Saul led in righteousness. He finally turned away from God's way, and Israel was in trouble again. God chose David to reign as king over Israel, and things went well with the whole nation because David and the priests led in the path of righteousness and obedience to God's law, except the incident with Bathsheba and Uriah. David paid a heavy price for the breaking of God's law. His son died. He also had to run for his own life because one of his elder sons took over his throne. David lost another son whom he loved dearly in putting down the rebellion. My friends, I just bring these accounts out hoping it will help someone to understand what a heavy price we pay because of iniquity, that is, breaking of God's laws. Turning our back on God, thinking we know a better way. Well, does the fruit that we have borne prove that our way is better? No, it proves our way is the wrong way. Look at the mess the world and our nation and perhaps you and your family are in. We claim to be under grace and don't have to obey God's laws. When common sense tells us it's the breaking of God's law that has brought all the evils on us, we are under grace, that is, if you have wholeheartedly repented of your sins, which is the breaking of God's laws, that we say we aren't under. Grace means we aren't under the penalty, the death penalty, the second death penalty of the law. Christ paid that penalty for you. He died for your sins so your sins could be forgiven. When you repent of breaking his laws and accept that sacrifice, his shed blood, for your sins, Christ didn't die so you would not have to obey God's word, including his righteous, spiritual, eternal laws. Notice Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Paul makes it very clear here that we are still under law, that we are still to obey the law, but we aren't under the penalty, the death penalty, for breaking that law, because Christ paid that penalty for you. Notice in Romans 6, beginning in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul is asking a question here. He asks, shall we continue to break God's law just because Christ has died for our sins? His shed blood has covered your sins, that grace may abound? Notice in verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Paul says, no, you shall not continue in sin. You shall not continue to break and ignore God's laws. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Yes, my friends, as it goes on to bring out here, that the old self was put away. The old self was washed and cleaned. The old self died when you repented and were baptized. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Yes, we were buried with him. The old self was buried. The self of sin, the old sinful self, was buried and forgiven when you were baptized. Your sins were washed clean so that we can walk in newness of life, the life of Christ, live according to the way that he lived and walk in his footsteps as he walked when he was on earth. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That means that we are to walk in newness of life. As a matter of fact, if you stretch this on out, it means that we will be born into the family of God. That is, if we live a righteous life after we have been baptized, our old self done away with. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Yes, we died with Christ. That is a symbol of baptism. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we no longer should be the slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. In other words, believe that you are to walk in newness of life, that you are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, no longer serving sin, no longer serving Satan, if you will. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And my friends are telling us the death penalty, the second death, doesn't have dominion over you either. If you have repented and have been baptized and you are walking in the footsteps of Christ and you continue to do that until you die, death has no longer dominion over you. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And that's certainly the life that we are to live, the life to God, in obedience to God. Verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, dead to sin, no longer serving sin. Sin is out for a Christian. They are not to walk in that path. They are not to practice that way of life. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Now, you need to keep on your mind what sin is. Sin is the breaking of God's law. God says so. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. And do not present yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, yes, living a different way of life, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Yes, in other words, you're serving God. You're serving the way of righteousness. You're no longer serving the way of sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, what does that mean? You are not under law. My friends, it merely means, and Paul makes it very clear, that it only means that we aren't under the death penalty of breaking God's law. That is, if you have repented wholeheartedly and sincerely and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and been baptized for your sins washed clean, and you have been raised up out of that watery grave, which is a symbol of Christ's death and resurrection, and you are walking in newness of life, you are no longer serving the way of sin. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. We need to realize that we aren't under the death penalty of the law, but we are still to keep the law, still to obey the law. Verse 16, do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? God says if you're serving sin, you are a slave to sin, to Satan and his way. But he also says that if you are a slave to righteousness, you are a servant of God. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. I see my time is just about up. We'll pick this up in our next program and go right on with it. Keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program and continue to request our literature. Today we're offering the article Babylon, Fountain of Error, and the article, What Must America Do to Regain God's Protection and Blessing? And all you need to do to receive those articles is just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675 and request Babylon, Fountain of Error, and the article, What Must America Do to Regain God's Protection and Blessing? This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, daily or weekly, depending which station you hear the Way It Ought to Be program, and continue to request our free literature, tapes, and CDs. Have a good day, my friend, and we'll see you tomorrow or next week.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.